Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a lot to cover tonight, but we're starting out with the most important story that has occurred in the last few days. And what's happened is that Alex Jones, along with Roger Stone, are outing a story about a video footage that was never taken away and discovered by the FBI after the raid on Roger Stone's house. So there were additional surveillance cameras that picked up scenes of and video, and that recorded actually the CNN reporter getting there to Roger Stone's house before, okay, the raid started, and it insinuates and it proves that there was coordination between CNN and the FBI on this raid, and there was foreknowledge. I'm not sure on this clip, but you'll have to go into the Infowars.com to pick up and look at all the clips in their entirety. We're covering just a small clip here because we have an hour. Our program is only an hour long. But somewhere in this clip, it might be in here, Roger Stone is saying that his attorney, before this raid, learned about it, the intended warrant that was issued from a CNN reporter, and that CNN reporter had sent his attorney a copy of the indictment that had been rendered by a grand jury, but it just happened to be a day old copy, and it was a draft copy, and it did not coincide with the final indictment that was issued publicly. So there's big problems on this. So here we go with Roger Stone and Alex Jones discussing bits and pieces of this video that was finally uncovered, and this was passed on. Two congressional committees and others, and then they leaked it. And that's why Alex and them went live with this. So here we go right now. Listen to this carefully.
And then I'm at the office 5 o'clock last night, and I'm actually in the control room where they're doing the war room, because I'm in there talking about news and a shoot I'm going to do in the next studio in like an hour. And all of a sudden they go, "Hey, have you seen this?" And it's Sinclair Broadcasting with this footage. And for whatever reason, they night visioned out, made it look black and white to look cooler. It's color video. And they put all this stuff around it and do a bunch of weird stuff. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and then Roger's on air while they're telling him. He's like, I don't know. I got to get off air here. I got to go. Well, by the time Roger figured out what was going on, it was late last night, so I talked to him this morning. And the reason this is a big deal is, his lawyers probably rightfully said, look, this judge already gagged a bunch of people. She's in Mueller's pocket. But your profession is talking and writing, so they shouldn't be able to stop you. If not, we're going to appeal it, obviously. But let's not release this footage. Let's just give it to Congress so there's a copy there with the Judiciary Committee that's already investigating this. Because there are open investigations of the raid, and the Senate especially. So they send it to them, uploaded the way they want, and then all of a sudden we're blindsided. That's a whole other thing. Who leaked this to Sinclair? So that's a whole other thing. It's not us, because I knew Roger had it, so Roger rushes. Well, Roger, we'll get this footage here in a moment, but everybody needs to understand, this needs to be built up like the Super Bowl. This is CNN caught red-handed with Mueller's rogue FBI splinter group. And I hope it's a splinter group. Whitaker is decrying it right now, and I want to think they're telling the truth. This is just sensational. This is showing people hand in the cookie jar. or, you know, the footage where the serial killer strangles the woman. I mean, you don't get out of this what we're about to show, but just walk through why this is so important, because you're having that hearing tomorrow to gag you, and we've talked about this. We both think they're going to try to use whoever leaked this against you when they're the ones that already leaked it.
No, Alex, this could conceivably be my last interview on InfoWars, at least for a while. We just don't know. I do have a First Amendment right to defend myself. And the argument that I should be gagged because of my talking in defense of myself might poison a potential jury pool. Well, the government just poisoned the jury pool by staging this incredible over-the-top Gestapo-type raid on my home. And by, you know, by making sure that CNN was there to record all of it. So, look, I didn't leak this tape. It was sent to the proper authorities. I'm grateful to Senator Lindsey Graham. I'm grateful to the Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee who are looking into exactly what happened here. But the Sinclair footage is severely truncated. You can see the CNN crew in the background, but they're not clearly identified. That's why it was essential for InfoWars to open this whole thing up and get to the bottom of it and lay it out for people, because it's chilling and it costs the taxpayers, who knows, $500,000 unnecessarily to try to depict me like some kind of drug kingpin, like I'm El Chapo or Pablo Escobar, or may try to make me look like a criminal before I've had a chance to assert my innocence in a court of law. So I'm grateful to InfoWars and Alex, your courage, being willing to show the American people what really went down that day.
That's right. We're showing Sinclair's version right now. I don't know why they made it black and white look more scary. We're going to show you the real footage. And CNN will go, oh, it's edited. They blurred the FBI people's faces. No, that's not doctored. That's not substantially changed. Blurring faces is not changing the truth of it. In fact, zooming in and blowing it up isn't doing that. But I guarantee you they're going to try to ignore this, Roger. And they're going to try to say that we've altered it. None of that's true in a doctored form. We are showing you so you can zoom in and see the FBI, patting them on the back, directing them, doing it all with a CNN guy they say they knew nothing about. BS! They blocked both sides of the streets. He was already there waiting. They talked to him. They let him stay there, which you don't do on this kind of, quote, felony raid like they did. And then they direct him to leave at the end. So that they don't have the Roger Stone being brought out part. They thought that would probably be too much and too obvious, and it would look like the FBI staged it. They put a lot of thought at the Mueller level. I think Mueller made the decisions on how this was done, Roger.
Well, and let me explain the difference between the black and white and the color. Remember, this pre-dawn raid began in the dark, and therefore the security cameras operate on infrared. That's why the images are black and white. As the sun
then
came
later out, it turns color.
Exactly. So that is what has transpired. What I want to know is, who approved this? Did the FBI Director Christopher Wray approve this? Did the Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker approve this? Did the station chief of the FBI in Miami, a guy named Piero, who's known for these kind of brutal tactics, did he approve this? Did Mr. Mueller order this? How far up the chain of command did it go? These are the questions I think Senator Graham should be asking. These are the questions that Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, all good men, should be asking.
And let's be clear. As I predicted, as you predicted, they've heated up 84 investigations. Mueller's fake investigation probably is going to end in the next month, like they say, but it'll all then metastasize into all these other cancers, to use an accurate term. I mean, Trump needs to take action. He has them with this raid, with CNN. Call these FBI people in. Who ordered him to do that? Who told him CNN could be in the middle of a raid? You know, this needs to end now.
Well, Alex, you know the worst part of this? I'm a tough guy like you. You know, I'm a fighter. My poor wife is 73 years old. She's hearing impaired. She's a beautiful woman, and she's in great shape. But why she was treated like this, why she was rousted out in the middle of the night, why she's made to stand in her, you know, in her bare feet in the middle of the street when she's been charged with no crime, why she can't call or return calls from my grandchildren or my children trying to call and see if grandma is all right. That's just outrageous. That's abusive. And then, you know, her family fled Fidel Castro's gulag. So to accuse us of being Russian dupes or Russian spies, when my family was crushed by Russian tanks in Budapest in 1956, That is the height of an insult. That's as insulting as it gets. No, it's the Clintons who are colluding with the Russians. It's Bill and Hillary and then Uranium One and their cohort Robert Mueller. They're the ones who are engaged in treason.
Jeannie Ray headed up the cover-up at her foundation, and she's one of the prosecutors. This has never been done before. This is literally foxes running the henhouse.
Absolutely, Alex. And look, I'm glad that you have the courage to show everything, because there is no other media outlet in America that has that kind of courage. You're not going to see this on CNN or ABC or NBC or CBS or even Sinclair. I think they're good people at Sinclair. But they gave you a little tiny snippet of what happened. This is the only place on the planet where you can see.
And we will air when we come back. Truth. Global exclusive video shows FBI directing CNN cameraman at Roger Stone raid. We're about to air that exclusive footage starting now. We're also going to upload the raw footage as we speak to that page on Infowars.com. I cannot overstate the importance of what you're about to see. Roger Stone, acting A.G. Whitaker, fuels flimsy conspiracy theory. That's Vox that calls for total censorship. That Mueller tipped off CNN about Stone's arrest when you even got them sending you emails with metadata showing they'd been sent the indictment the day before. And then acting A.G. Whitaker, deeply concerned that CNN was at Roger Stone raid. And now this is at the center of hearings today, right as they're having the hearings. We couldn't have planned this better. We didn't. You just sent it on to the House and Senate Judiciary Committees as a good citizen. Somebody leaks out the weakest part of it to Sinclair. But now this is all starting to unfold. This is huge, Roger.
Well, and I'm told that Senator Collins from Maine questioned the FBI director today as to why CNN was permitted to be on the scene. If I was theoretically dangerous, which is the whole premise of their raid on my home, then why was a CNN camera crew allowed to set up 25 feet from my front door? My neighbors who were walking their dogs were told to go back in their homes because it was a dangerous situation. The street was sealed off to all traffic. So why was CNN allowed to stay there? And CNN's claim that they staked out my house every Friday for months is a lie. I have security camera footage that proves yet again that CNN is lying. Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, Sarah Murray. These people are busted. They're not journalists. They're just liars. Now they'll hide behind their journalistic privileges. But the government doesn't allow that. So Mr. Mueller, Mr. Weissman, the FBI director, Mr. Ray, Mr. Pirro in Miami, they need to be questioned under oath about why the CNN crew was there, why they showed up 50 minutes before the raid, and why they were allowed to set up their tripod exactly 9 minutes before I was taken.
And you have the FBI. You can see the whole setup. We're about to go to it, but let's play Acting Attorney General Whitaker from earlier today saying he is concerned, obviously, about this. It violates federal law, tipping people off about raids and warrants. It's very illegal. Here it is.
Are you familiar from public reports or otherwise that a CNN reporter was camped out outside of Stone's house when the FBI arrested him? Thank you. This wouldn't be part of the investigation. I am aware of that, and it was deeply concerning to me as to how CNN found out about that.
Well, that is I'm glad we're going down that road, Mr. Attorney General. Did somebody at the Department of Justice seemingly share a draft indictment with CNN prior to Stone's arrest, prior to a grand jury's finding of a true bill?
Ranking Member Collins, the court had a sealed indictment that after Mr. Stone's arrest was unsealed. Consistent with all its prior indictments, the DOJ's basic policy for transparency in criminal cases is that the indictment is posted on the DOJ webpage promptly after it's unsealed, and then media outlets were notified. We do not know of any, and I do not know of any other special counsel's office notice or DOJ notice to media outlets regarding Mr. Stone's indictment or his arrest. And otherwise, you know, I really, as I sit here today, don't have any other information that I can talk about regarding Mr. Stone.
Okay, but Roger Stone does have that. We'll cover that next segment. But, I mean, Roger, you can smell it. Like the Whitaker I mean, all of this, you can see that they know what's happening. We see all these criminal recommendations from the Inspector General of the Justice Department that FBI agents have been involved in criminal activity against Trump, against you, against others. This is a leftist cabal. It must be rooted out. I think we're getting very close to it, Roger.
Well, as you know, yesterday, Apple agreed to hand over my passwords to the Mueller investigative team. Now, they refused to turn over the passwords for the Pulse nightclub shooter or for the San Bernardino mass murderer because they wanted to protect their privacy rights. The reason I suspect they want my Apple ID is to see whether I destroyed any evidence or erased any files. The answer is no. Mr. Mueller, however, did erase the text messages of Mr. Page, Mr. Stroke and Lisa Page, which is, of course, destruction of evidence. So there's a walking indictment right there, Mr. Whitaker. What are you waiting for? Or is it okay for them to destroy evidence? I have destroyed nothing. I have erased nothing. The records that they examine will be identical to the records they already have. 3 terabytes of data. But if the government thinks that they're not going to be able to hide the fact that they had me under surveillance in 2016, that they had an illegal warrant to surveil me during Donald Trump's presidential campaign, that they were eavesdropping on my conversations with candidate Trump, they're not going to be able to hide the ball, although they're going to try. The New York Times reported that on January 20th, 2017. You were with me that day in Washington, Alex. It blew our minds. The New York Times refuses to retract that story. The reporter insists it was correct and is correct. Why was I being spied on in 2016? We're going to get to the bottom of all of this.
And again, I've not been building this up here for the last 45 minutes without getting to the footage. There's just so many angles and who leaked it. And now you're about to see the real footage. And as we speak, I told Rob Dew 15 minutes ago, we've got the raw footage and then we've got it blown up of the FBI, literally like Stanley Kubrick or Steven Spielberg there, or James Cameron directing. Or so many other directors directing all that. You can see, it's like you're watching, oh, that's a TV crew. Who are those? Oh, that's the director. They're telling him what to do. We have the whole thing, the whole setup, which is just fantastical. We're going to go to break. And of the water didn't rise over Bear Creek, next segment we'll show the raw footage, and then we speed it up because it's 30 minutes of them sitting there, and then we'll give you the blown-up footage. But it's all being uploaded to Infowars.com and Newswars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Please, folks, understand. They don't want a free and independent media in America. They don't want groups and organizations that are willing to stand up and tell the truth. They want a bunch of yes men. We're not that. But the power, I'm willing to go all the way against the globalists. I believe we can win. We've already had big victories. But they know that InfoWars is a flashpoint, a focal point, a launch point, a rallying point, a signet, a standard, a flag of freedom. And will, and what's left of Americana. But that little fire of InfoWars has already set giant fires. And they're dealing with those fires right now, and they're worried that we're going to set new brush fires in the minds of men and women. Yes, we are. But only you can feel the sales. You are the InfoWars. So spread the live links at InfoWars.com/show. Spread the live link, global exclusive, FBI directed the raid on Stone's house with CNN. It's a scandal. It's in Congress in hearings today, and we have them. And it's a test of our will versus their will. Can you get the articles out? And then separately, the very best air filters, the very best water filters, the very best non-GMO heirloom seeds, the very best supplements. Everybody needs the highest quality turmeric. We've got bodies. Everybody needs the other great quality products like Super Silver Wound Gel that nobody else has got, FDA approved, or Brain Force Plush and the new Turbo Force, 50% off. All right, good old George Strait takes us out. We will be back with the global exclusive. Please spread the word. What we're now covering live on this Friday global transmission with Roger Stone from his home in Florida, where he's besieged by reporters, having to move out, move into a small apartment. He's almost bankrupt thanks to Mueller's witch hunt. His punishment for Stone helping defeat Hillary, my punishment is what you've obviously seen, the deplatforming, the lawsuits, the total demonization. But it's okay. I knew I was in a war. I just want folks to recognize we are the tip of the spear. We're the rallying point with the flag, and we're under attack. So StoneDefenseFund.com, InfoWarsStore.com. Support us, please. Go to his site, StoneColdTruth.com. Get a T-shirt. Go to InfoWars.com/show. Spread the links. Whatever you do, realize it's a fight. And I keep reminding you, I know a lot of you are out there hammering hard. and taking action. I'm just telling those that kind of passively tune in, this is history, ladies and gentlemen. And I bet on the American people. I bet that you'd want to be free. I bet that you'd want jobs back. I bet that you wanted to have a good future. I sure know I do. And I bet that you'd see people ridiculed, lied about, you'd see through it. And a lot of you have, but I think there's just so much media out there, sometimes people just don't get that everybody's trying to act like they're the tip of the spear. And hell, I wish they were. We wouldn't be in this trouble. But we are the tip of the spear. I've been banging heads with the globalists for 25 years, on air 24. In the last decade, man, I've been over the target because of having a big, powerful audience. And that's what they fear. They fear you. This attack is about taking your life over. So, without further ado, Roger Stone, we're going to start airing the audio, you know, free video of what happened, and it gives the exclusive raid footage and more. But again, I don't want, it's bad you being handcuffed and your wife and all the rest of it, and that's pretty powerful footage and it's exclusive. But the CNN, as you pointed out on the phone to me this morning, that's really what's so incredible here, showing that Mueller lied, showing they lied, of course showing that they illegally leaked this to CNN, as you have the metadata. So you have them, and the Attorney General, the acting Attorney General, says he's pretty upset about this. So this is really pertinent information right now that's essential to exposing the deep state.
Well, evidently the acting Attorney General said he's willing to address the overuse of force in a closed hearing, but not in public. That's the problem with this whole investigation. Everything is being done behind closed doors. I wanted to testify before the House Intelligence Committee in open session for the TV cameras. It was not allowed. Adam Schiff lied in that hearing again and again and again. Mr. Schiff will be on the stand at my trial. Eric Swalwell will be on the stand in my trial. Congressman, put aside about a day and a half because we got a lot of questions for you under oath, something you haven't experienced in a while. You, no more congressional immunity, dude. We need to know all about what you have done and what you, and why you handled the inquiries from the Russians the way you did, trying to sell you naked pictures of the president. Alex, let's get to this footage. My heart is in my throat here. I had trouble watching this, to be honest with you, when the lawyer showed it to me. Interestingly enough, when the FBI came to the house, they ripped out the hardwire phones, so we no longer have that. And it was only when I was trying to figure out how to reconnect the phones that I realized that there was a DVR drive here that hadn't been taken. That's the only reason we have this. The most chilling thing here is watching the FBI agent realize there's a camera and take a piece of tape and put it over the lens.
We're going to go to it, and I don't normally build something up, and I haven't been building it up. It's just so insane. It's so big. It's crazy. So we're going to start rolling. Only TV viewers can see this. Radio listeners, all subscribe. And start rolling the unedited, unblown up, raw footage, and then we speed it up. So this is the CNN reporter arriving in regular time. And this is unedited. We just speed it up so we're not sitting here for 30 minutes. And so the CNN reporter stops right in front of your driveway. Again, you have the subsequent DVRs that this never happened before. This guy's connected to the FBI. He pulls forward, checks the addresses, backs back up, and then we start speeding up the tape so that we're not sitting here again for 30 minutes waiting. And again, we're here watching this raw footage for TV viewers, you obviously see it. Now the police start, the federal agents, the henchmen of Mueller start showing up here in a few minutes, and they come over and they talk to the camera person as if they already know who he is. Obviously, the real raid's about to happen. Get out of here. Then he sets up his tripod. More come and talk to him. And then this happens three times. At the end, right before Stone's taken out, they say, okay. They come over, pat him on the back, and they say, you can go. And he then leaves. So that's,
you see my cat Lucky there in front of the car.
So that's the raw footage. Now let's go to the blown up footage. We're now going to go to the blown up, and obviously this went on over like almost an hour, so sped up footage. But we stop and slow down during the parts. So here's blown up footage, the very same footage you just saw. You see us blow it up right there on the software, and then you see the CNN vehicle pull up. That looks like a Ford Expedition. And then he backs back up, as I said, and then we speed it through the next 45 minutes or so. But this is incredible because right there on the tape, just keep rolling it in lifetime, guys, because I spent a lot of time this morning on this, and I know it's on the tape. So let's go back to it. And we've got him sitting right there. And at a certain point, they show up and all this happens. We'll just keep that rolling while Roger is speaking. So continue, Roger.
Well, you see the CNN crew there perched in front of my house. The time code is not correct because it was set incorrectly by the camera. But since we know the exact time of my arrest was 6 o'clock, you can figure out the real times here. And we made that very clear. Now you see him get out of the car and you see him, the CNN crew, that's a neighbor there. You see him talk to whoever's in the car. That's most likely one of the FBI officials. When the car pulls away, you will see him, or the car backs up, pardon me, you'll see him set up his tripod. Now, at this point, my neighbors who are out walking their dogs tell me that they were told to go back in their homes and stay there. You see him now go to the rear of the vehicle and to begin to set up his camera equipment. If I am theoretically dangerous, so dangerous that it takes 29 SWAT team outfitted, assault weapon wielding FBI agents to take me and my 73-year-old wife into custody, why is this man being permitted to stay 25 feet from my front door? Why is he allowed to do this? It's because there's a willful effort to poison the jury pool and depict me as a desperado, as the single most dangerous person in America, public enemy number one. That, despite the fact that I am not accused of any violent crime and have no previous record. In the front seat, Josh Campbell, the producer for CNN, former special assistant to FBI Director James Comey, a man who did lie to Congress under oath about many things, but has not yet had his home raided by the FBI on the orders of Robert Mueller. The CNN's very clever. They put another guy out front, not their FBI-connected producer, but they are busted. And everything they have said so far is a lie. They sent my lawyer. Then you see the FBI rolling up as the raid begins. The CNN camera is now running. You see him. He grabs the camera out of the car, films the FBI. Why isn't he being told to leave? I'm dangerous. The armed men now swarming into my front yard, fanning out to take me into custody. There you see it. God, this turns my stomach.
So, again, if you're a TV viewer, you can see all this. You're going to see several more times the FBI then comes and talks to him, congratulates him, and tells him to leave. The whole thing is completely staged, and this is the America we live in. We come back. The second and third contact with the FBI by CNN, standing right there with him, walking right past him, talking to him, and them saying they never saw him, never knew what happened, never authorized it. And then the exclusive footage that dramatically is more powerful, where it shows Roger being let out in handcuffs and more. And that's all being uploaded to InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Caught them red-handed. It really gets powerful on the other side. Stay with us. So Roger Stone's our exclusive guest. We just showed, if you are watching on television, the first time that the FBI comes up to CNN that's been there for 30 minutes, blocks the road, lets them stay there, wanders past them, the raid begins, and then we're going to show you two more times on the footage where they talk to the reporter. They say they never saw, never knew, never directed. And then they tried to abscond with the evidence. They tried to obstruct justice of the crime they committed, leaking the felony warrant, all the rest of it. And this is all criminal, very criminal. They then tried to cover up the cameras with tape. We have that footage coming up. They then try to take the other DVR. They were unsuccessful doing that. So we have all that footage coming up for you in just a few minutes. But Roger, narrate this for us now as you watch from your home where this happened in Florida a few weeks ago with this global exclusive that just shows the lie of Mueller, the fraud, the media, CNN lying. It's so huge. I just can't describe it. The next two times that the FBI talks to him, and the third time, right before you're let out, a group gets around the CNN reporters and tells them, get out of here. So let's roll that.
So now you see the first of 17 FBI vehicles that arrive. You see the armed agents getting out of their trucks. Two of the vehicles were armored vehicles. You see the CNN camera running. The FBI agent walks right by the camera, doesn't tell him to leave. Yet the street has been sealed at the end of the street. It's a dead end street. And my neighbors have been told to stay inside their houses. You see the cameraman taking pictures of the additional agents. You now see the agents swarming my home. What you can't see here is two boats have pulled up to the back. There you see the you can see an FBI official speaking to the cameraman to the left of the picture. And in the back of the house at this exact time, agents are swarming. There you see the producer, Josh Campbell, former special assistant to James Comey, and he is directing the action. You see the FBI agent. You see the two CNN officials there. Now you see them picking up. You see he goes for his cell phone, very clearly tipped off in advance of the raid. Now they're waiting for the next piece of action. You see an additional agent. Now you see the FBI talking actively and telling them, okay, you guys got what you needed, and they're finally being told to leave. So, again, the FBI is well aware that CNN is there, well aware that they're filming. They walk right by them. They allow them to film the swarming of my home. Now they only tell them to leave when I am about to be dramatically brought out in cuffs. I was, obviously I'm just seeing this footage close up for the first time. I've seen it from far away, and it still turned my stomach. Now you see the FBI directing their cohorts, their partners in crime at CNN. You can go to Stone Cold Truth right now if you want to learn more about my situation, or if you want to contribute to Stone Defense Fund. There's a link right there at the Stone Cold Truth. There's a chilling example here. You can see I have been handcuffed. Again, we have the infrared cameras, which is why I'm wearing a black shirt, actually. But until the sun comes up, when you'll see the color of all the pictures dramatically shift to color. Notice on the right, there's a man holding a rifle still pointed at the picture window of my home. The FBI agent who was walking me out was very courteous and very polite, very professional, treated me well, gave me some water. Later on, he gave me a protein bar because I was getting hungry. But you see, I have been walked out to the street, and I've asked now to see my lawyer three times, and I was told I could see my lawyer later.
And again, Roger, the huge issue here is, and we're going to have the rest of the footage next hour, because the issue of blurring the FBI agents' faces out became a big fiasco here, and that's why this is all behind. And hell, we may even have it today at this rate. But it's your wife being marched out as well. It's them running around putting tape over all the cameras.
This clip, Roger Stone, in this particular clip that you just listened to, did not state how his attorney found out about this raid or this arrest. But it was by a CNN reporter who sent to his attorney, I believe he said the indictment or even the arrest warrant. But the problem with some of the documents that he sent to Roger Stone's attorney was they've proven now, or they're seeing now, that the documents that his attorney received were draft documents that occurred a day before the actual raid and when the document should have been released. So this thing has multiple problems, and it goes on and on. Go to the Infowars.com site and you'll be able to get in detail and see all these different video clips that Alex has put up for Roger. Anyway, coming up next is a short clip that Devin Nunes was interviewed on. And he's talking about Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff was caught meeting with Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson out in Aspen, Colorado during the investigations that were ongoing that involved this Glenn Simpson as a witness or as a possible person of interest, you could say. And this is Adam Schiff, okay? has been stated. It has been stated by Roger Stone that he's going to call him in and Swalwell to testify in his court case. So anyway, this is Devin Nunes. He's a stand-up person, and he really means to do the right thing. So listen to this right now.
The Hill broke a story yesterday about Glenn Simpson and Adam Schiff meeting in Aspen last year. What are your thoughts about that? And are there any parallels in your mind to the way Adam Schiff treated you after your White House meetings in 2017?
Well, it's very troubling because Glenn Simpson is at the center of our investigation. Has been, still is. He's someone who came in and didn't answer any questions. He's someone that we would like to bring back and have testify. So, I find it very hard to believe that is this the only meeting? Were there more meetings? What was talked about at the meeting? Glenn Simpson is a central figure in all of this. He is the man behind the dossier. He's the man that was in charge of talking to Russians. He's the man that met with people before and after the infamous Trump Tower meeting where some of the Trump campaign folks met with some Russians. He was behind all of this and in the middle of all of it. So the fact that they're coordinating doesn't really surprise me because Glenn Simpson is a Democratic operative working for the Democratic Party. So the fact that he's meeting with Democrats on Capitol Hill is not a surprise. That's his business. That's what he does. Just as a little bit of surprise that people haven't taken it serious that this guy needs to be investigated, and clearly they weren't if they were meeting and having conversations in 2018. I guess as they were having conversations before that.
So Devin Nunes is stating in his interview here that you just heard that perhaps they were meeting Adam Schiff and Glenn Simpson several times before that. But they did meet in Aspen, and that is a fact. And so that's very problematic for Adam Schiff now that he's heading up this committee, the Judiciary Committee, as chairman in the House. So this is getting to be very, very dicey. And there's a lot of problems here. Not only does the government have problems on the raid on Roger Stone's house, but with real problems about foreknown knowledge of warrants and possibly indictments. But now we're getting into this Adam Schiff meeting with some of the key witnesses that testified before several of the House committees and the Senate committees also. So we're getting into something that's really, really getting entangled mess. Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is Venezuela. I want to give you a little background on Venezuela and Hugo Chavez. BBVA, which is a bank out of Bilbao, Spain, made a contribution in 1998 In 1999, this is a proven fact now. It got into the court system in Spain, in fact, and several officers for BBVA in Spain resigned over it. But this BBVA bank contributed to the Hugo Chavez campaign in the amount of $1.5 million over a two-year period. And so actually, BBVA, a bank out of Spain, helped bring Hugo Chavez to power in Venezuela. And as soon as he was elected by the people in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez began to establish very close connections to Cuba. And I understand now that the Cubans have a very, very large part in his army and so forth. So we've got that going on. And then the recent that's been going on for a while, there's been recent information that the Venezuela has been maintaining or establishing ties with Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah was the organization that Barack Obama was Project Cassandra was a project started, and it focused in on Hezbollah and Hezbollah's drug dealing into the South America and other countries was a focus of it, and their terrorist activities also. So the Obama administration has been accused by not bringing that investigation forward and not concluding it in a very, very above board manner, but keeping it from proceeding at times, stalling it, and so forth. So if that is true, then this Ebola presence, possible presence in Venezuela in today's world is a big, big problem. And Barack Obama and his administration helped contribute to that. They were trying to be easy on Ebola because they were trying to make a deal with Iran on that agreement with Iran. So that nuclear agreement and so forth. And so that's why they were easy on Ebola. But this Cassandra, Project Cassandra, was scuttled. It was stalled and so forth by Obama and his administration. So today we get back to Venezuela with Maduro there. And Gauda is coming out of the president of the assembly, the General Assembly, and he has authority, it appears, under their constitution to take over. And they're saying that the previous election was not a fair and legitimate election. That's one of the statements. In Venezuela today, the inflation rate is tremendous. The people are having a hard time eating and so forth. So we're going to see some basic change occur down there. Maduro is saying that he's not going to leave and step down. He does have some Cuban soldiers, or I can't say soldiers, but a Cuban presence of individuals there. Russia is behind Venezuela, and also Iran is behind Venezuela, I guess because of Hezbollah, and that's who Iran is backing in Lebanon and so forth. So this is getting to be a real problem. I don't know. There was a piece of paper that someone saw on John Bolton's little pad the other day. It said 5,000 troops to Colombia. Now, is that meaning then our country is going to send 5,000 American troops into Colombia, which is right next door to Venezuela, for a possible strike into Venezuela? But there looks like there might be some, I don't know if this is going to be concluded in a peaceful manner, and it doesn't appear to at this time. The next comments I want to make is on Jeff Bezos, okay? And what we have going on down there is that the National Enquirer has come out with some publishing of some of the things that he considered to be very, very private, okay? And so he's pushing back with an investigation of some of the top owners and publishers of the National Enquirer that he alleges, that it's alleged or it's just been established that the publisher and some of the top owners there are friends with Trump, President Trump. So there's allegations that Trump is behind this thing against Jeff Bezos because the Washington Post is so biased against Trump. And now that's a well-established fact as far as I'm concerned. The Washington Post has been biased against Trump. And so there's no doubt about that. But what's interesting about this is that who comes in today with an article but The Intercept, okay? The Intercept was put together and financed by Peter Thiel, and that headed up and founded Palantir with Alex Karp. Now, Palantir is an international, you could say, intelligence gathering operation that was originally financed with $12 million by the CIA. And so what we have is the Palantir and Thiel and them put together, Thiel put together money and established the Intercept. So Peter Thiel's money is behind the Intercept. Okay, you have Glenn Greenwald heading up the Intercept, which was financed and put together by Peter Thiel, who along with Alex Karp established Palantir, which is an international, like I said, intelligence gathering operation, which was originally financed by $12 million from the CIA funding. And so, and then on the other side, you've got Jeff Bezos, who has contracted with the Pentagon, the NSA, the CIA, and all that. And he's also been developing some facial recognition software and techniques and whatever, hardware probably. that is going to further the ability of the giant control mechanism to identify people that are anti-government or whatever. So now Jeff Bezos has an investigation underway against the National Enquirer and those people after reacting to their exposing of his extramarital relations with a lady. That's all in the press now. So this is what's going on. And then you have Palantir that enters in by way of The Intercept. And so it's all a bunch of BS and people entangled with each other. And the public out there should know more of what these connections are. And I just laid that out. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It's been revealed that Beto is going to have a counter protest this coming Monday. They said in El Paso at the same time that Trump is going to have a rally out there. And I don't really know how that's going to work out. So that remains to be seen. But we have some people, Gerald Celente is stating that after Oprah Winfrey gave Beto the blessings, that he thinks that Beto is being lined up to be the Democratic candidate in opposition to President Trump. So that's what Gerald Celente has said just recently on a talk show host here in Austin. And so Gerald Celente is a very sharp guy. He heads up a forecasting newsletter, and he's done a very good job on that. So that's what he's saying. He's saying Beto is being set up to become the candidate on the Democratic side. So that we've got to keep that in mind. We've had controversy over long-term abortion. We had the governor of Virginia in an interview state that he is in favor of that. So, boy, that's not good. James Tracy, look up that name on the web. James Tracy was fired from his position at a Florida university because of his statements on the Sandy Hook, scandal up there. But also he has some amazing things to say about Wolfgang Halbig. So go in there and Google James Tracy and read his blog. We've got the Russians, okay, are dealing in some very, very dangerous waters. If they want to come over here and meddle in Venezuela, they're going to be surprised about what Trump is going to do. And I believe a meeting between North Korean president and Trump has been set up recently. I believe that's on board. Also, the Yellow Vest movement, rallies and protest movement in Paris is ongoing. And I believe the Daily Mail out of UK has some articles. Go to thedailymail.com and look at the articles on the recent protest over there. And it shows maybe one protester losing a hand over there. Now, I developed some information recently. It's been back a while, but I've never broadcast it. But when in Calais, right there across the English Channel, when they were having trouble with immigrants camping out there, and they were mostly, you could say, Arabic or from the Middle East, trying to get into Britain. And the French used CS gas to subdue some of those riots down there in those camps and in that those riots and the violence that was to subdue some of those people. So CS gas was the same gas was used up in Waco against the Branch Davidians. See, so it's evidence then now being used there for sure. And this was an article I picked up that was printed about that subduing of that particular riot up there in Calais. But if the French, they have, we know now, the CS gas. And if they've been using it in Paris, it's a very, very, very bad omen for what the French are doing to the Yellow Vest protesters in Paris. Because that CS gas is a very dangerous gas. And it's not to be used inside like they used it against the Branch Davidians. So at least the French police are using it outside. Now, I haven't seen any reports coming in from Paris about what type of gas they're using. But we do have an article written about the Calais problem up there with the immigrants. And they did use CS gas, it was stated in that article. So I'm assuming that there's possibilities that the French are, if anybody has information out there, email me grncitia@aol.com. grncitia@aol.com. And, you go to our site. We broadcast every Saturday night from 7 to 9 here in Austin, Texas, and go to that site and you can email either George@thesecrettruth.com, or you can email Charlotte@thesecrettruth.com. So email either one of us and we'll take a look at your email. If you have information about what the type of gas, I'd like to find out what type of gas is being used by the French police against the yellow vest over there. I call them the yellow jackets. But anyway, that's still ongoing, and there was commotion over there today, and there was violence, and they're causing harm to some of the protesters with rubber bullets and so forth. And I don't know how this man lost his hand. You have to go in there and dig down into the Daily Mail and just try to see what's going on from there. But Glenn Greenwald, again, heads up The Intercept. It was put together by Peter Thiel with his money. And I think Jeremy is on there, Cahill. Jeremy Cahill is also another writer. But anyway, Palantir Technologies, look into that. That is a gigantic intelligence gathering. Also, Peter Thiel was on the organizing committee of the Bilderberg Group, and he goes to every Bilderberg, and Alex Karp is also there to be found there in those things. So we have that ongoing. Now, Tucker Carlson also interviewed someone, and I believe he made a statement on the opening clip that I played earlier, and I'll play that now. So listen to this very carefully now, okay? It's Tucker Carlson commenting on the video of the raid on Roger Stone's house. Here we go.
New home security video shows multiple angles of the FBI's pre-dawn raid on the home of political consultant Roger Stone. Unarmed, 66 years old, without a passport, barefoot. Until now, the only public footage of the raid came from CNN, which somehow knew to arrive 1 hour before the FBI got there. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker was asked about the CNN footage in his testimony before Congress today. Here's part of it.
Are you familiar from public reports or otherwise that a CNN reporter was camped out outside of Stone's house when the FBI arrested him? This wouldn't be part of the investigation.
I am aware of that, and it was deeply concerning to me as to how CNN found out about that. I share your concern with the possibility that a media outlet was tipped off to Mr. Stone's either indictment or arrest before it was made, that information was available to the public.
The new footage from Stone's home shows CNN arriving about an hour before agents did. The footage depicts what you'd expect if the FBI raided the home of the Mexican drug lord, maybe even SEAL Team 6 going into Bin Laden's compound. For context, Roger Stone is a senior citizen accused of false statements to Congress. Take a look at what happened.
It's just before 5 a.m. and an SUV with a CNN cameraman arrives first to this quiet street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Within minutes, the driver gets out and begins to set up his tripod. So far, no sign that anything's about to happen. But the cameraman gets back in his car with his equipment to wait. Almost exactly 1 hour later, trucks with heavily armed men arrive in front of Roger Stone's house. Immediately, CNN's cameraman jumps out of the car, camera on shoulder, capturing the footage. The feds assemble on Stone's driveway. They're wearing ballistic armor and carrying assault weapons with 30-round magazines, red dot sights, and tactical flashlights mounted to their barrel shrouds. One has his gun hanging by a strap while he carries a battering ram in his left hand. All of the men have sidearms holstered on their waists. A second camera mounted on Stone's front door shows another angle of the raid. A heavily armed FBI agent approaches the door with his gun drawn, while others stake out positions behind. It looks like a high-stakes raid, but CNN's cameraman is still 40 feet away filming it all. One agent swings his firearm around as he scans and surveys Stone's front porch. Behind the home, a third camera captures agents approaching the back of the house from the side yard. Behind the property, a boat arrives with at least two agents on board. They shine a floodlight into Stone's home. Back in front, an agent pounds on Stone's door, finger next to the trigger in case something goes wrong. He tries again as he and his colleagues wait in position. Within minutes, Stone exits his home to greet the agents who have their rifles pointed at him. Stone raises his hands and spins around, apparently trying to show that he is unarmed. Another FBI agent approaches Stone from behind and cuffs him. It's just after 6 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark out. 20 minutes later, the same camera shows agents leading Roger Stone back into his house. He is barefoot. Stone is wearing a T-shirt that says, "Roger Stone did nothing wrong."
The FBI and their water carriers and corporate media tell us, totally commonplace, by the book, happens all the time.
Sure, it happens all the time, huh? That's the story that they want us to abide by, the government line, right? Well, this country's in trouble, people, to our listening audience. And it's been in trouble for a while, but it's beginning to appear like a totalitarian dictatorship or a scientific dictatorship or something along those lines. And we're seeing people way, way out of, you know, line on these. They're issuing, they're going behind people's back. They're issuing warrants, or copies of warrants or indictments ahead of time to the press. It appears that that happened in Roger Stone's case. Attorney was receiving copies that were draft copies that were drawn up a day before the actual final copy of the indictment or warrant. So this is beginning to look more and more like a really staged deal against Trump. They know that Roger Stone was a 40-year friend with Trump, President Trump. So they're trying to go after him and squeeze him, and then maybe he'll, you know, come forth with some inside knowledge of some wrongdoing by President Trump. Roger Stone's not going to do that. I've interviewed him about three times, and I've never gotten any inclination that he's a liar or anything. So I respect Roger Stone, and especially his writings. His writings have been very superb and right on point. And whether he's writing about the success of President Trump's election to the presidency, or he's trying to expose something else. And he does have respect for Richard Nixon, who he did some work for early on. And he laid out one time at one of his speeches, I think it was in New Orleans, some of the accomplishments that Richard Nixon had accomplished, some of his accomplishments. And so Richard Nixon did get out some things. Maybe he made the bankers unhappy when he took the gold away from them. And he took us off the gold standard. That would be a very, very big biggie as far as the bankers go. So that might have been when they turned against him. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless each and every one of you. And all life is precious. Good night.